Welcome to the ION Annapolis Local Business Spotlight. There are thousands of locally owned businesses in the area, some small and some large. Some you may know and others you don't. But one thing they all have in common is a great story, and we want to share it with you. Join us every Saturday as we talk to the founders, the owners, and the managers of local businesses you have come to know and love, and those you will come to know and love. Now here's your host, John Frenay, with this week's Local Business Spotlight.
Hey, just a quick heads up before we get into this. We did record this at Rise Up Coffee, and unfortunately, we selected a very busy day to go record it. So it did take an awful lot of audio processing to clean it up. You will see it's a little bit muffled. It's not our typical audio quality, but it's an important story. So hang on. We need to talk to Suzanne with Sail Beyond Cancer.
I love Rise Up Coffee because they've got a good coffee, good food, and good atmosphere. And today we're sitting down with Suzanne Snyder, who is not only the executive director, but the founder of a great organization that is not really technically headquartered here, but has a chapter here, and it is called Sail Beyond Cancer. Suzanne, how are you?
Hi, good guy. Thank you so much for having me here. It's been a treat.
Well, Sail Beyond Cancer is a national nonprofit that you started, gosh, what, back in 2000 or something?
Well, actually about 10 years ago.
Okay.
So, and up in Burlington, Vermont. It was under a different name, actually. It was called Healing Winds, but changed the name to Sail Beyond Cancer, which makes a lot more sense to be explained what we do and who we are. Yes, I ended up as a single mom. I was three kids, full time, full custody.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
I mean, not the mom part, but you know.
And so I found a lump in my chest and I went through breast cancer and really fought for that. You know, I fought because I knew really that I had to do this to make sure that they had as much as I possibly could.
You know? Uh-huh.
And so I grew up sailing in Connecticut all my life. I don't remember ever not sailing on bigger boats on and off shores. So that is sort of in my gene. So as I was going through my treatments, I didn't at the time have a sailboat on Lake Champlain, but I had lots of OPBs, other people's boats, you know?
Sure. Best kind of boat.
You break it and you leave. So I really found that refuge of being able to get out there on the water again, especially as I was going through treatment and bring my children with me and just have that peace of mind. And so after I was able to get through the chemo and the radiation and all the other therapy I was doing, I was bald, right? Prior to that, I was a real estate agent and I really didn't want to go back into real estate. Yeah. I mean, I love that, but I just knew that there was something more that was pulling me. And I was working with a therapist in the hospital who specialized in getting people from coming in, you know, just getting back into the real world after going through treatment. He's a full, huge industry for this because it's very hard as a cancer patient. You lose a lot of direction, right? Like, what's my life about now? Right? What is the reason why I'm here? And, So she's the one that said to me after a couple of sessions that I have an idea for you. I think you should start a nonprofit and for cancer patients, maybe teach them how to sail or whatever. And I thought, well, that's great. I don't know anything about nonprofits. So
I write my check once a year.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I donate to them. So anyway, fast forward a year later, because I sat on this for about a year and I finally decided, you know what? Yeah. I just kept asking friends at cocktail parties, which is not the best place to ask your friends, what do you think of this idea?
The best place to ask for money, though, getting them all liquored up.
It is. But I'm like, what do you think of this idea? Do you guys should do this? And of course, they've had two or three glasses of wine. You're like, yeah, you should do it. So anyway, a year later, I decided to Google this to see if there's any other nonprofits across the United States that are doing this, across the world, actually. And there was one in England that I really thought was kind of cool. They're still in existence, called Sail for Cancer, the number 4. And so I spoke with them, and they were pretty excited about having us do something here in the United States. But a long story made short, in the end, I ended up just starting our own nonprofit right there in Vermont. And in my mind, we really had to have one vessel that was the signature boat. Because in Vermont, similar to here in Maryland, there's a lot of tributaries, a lot of places you can access a vessel, but it's really hard to brand.
Sure.
If you have, you know, a lot of different vessels. And I wanted to make sure that this experience of being sailing is a very controlled experience. and making sure that we knew exactly what the boat's like and who's going to be captaining and all that. So back in 2014 was the very first time we went sailing. So anyway, so a person, I knew at some point a boat would be donated. Nobody knew about this because I didn't see any anybody. And I was looking for a boat to buy. I couldn't find anything. So I just sat back and I thought, you know what? If this is supposed to be, it's going to happen. And I know it will. And within 6 months, a guy, uncle, knew nothing about anything. He was from, ironically, here, okay, in Maryland. His beau was in Oxford. He was up visiting Vermont, and he took the whole family out to dinner. I had short hair, so I must have said something about cancer. And he announced in the middle of dinner, John, that he had 4 months to live. He was dying of multiple myeloma. And I had not said anything about what I was thinking of doing. So 4 months later, I was invited to a cocktail party. There is Uncle Alan. And I walk in the house and he said, come here, sit down, talk to me. And I'm like, okay, but you're in female. He's just drinking a Malgay and tonic. I'm like, dude, I'll get you a couple more of those.
Right, right.
And he's like, you're damn right. She's like, I'm going to have whatever the hell I want. And the very next question is, do you want my boat? And I'm like, what kind of boat? And, you know, it's a sailboat, you know. O'Day, 28 and a half foot, whatever. And I'm like, well, what do you want for this boat? And he said, absolutely nothing. And he held up his hands like this. I mean, I could still, every time I tell this story, I could feel his energy. And he said, come and get it. It's yours. And I said, listen, I'm the girlfriend that's not planning on being the girlfriend of your nephew.
Right.
Okay, so the family should have it. And he's like, no, man, no, no. My offer's to you. You want it? Come and get it. And so I got his phone number the next day, and sure enough, he was already in the hospital, but I had the name of the boat and the town it was in, and I called up some friends, and they went and checked it out, and long story made short, the boat was waiting to be rescued. It was, the bow line had disintegrated. It was just hanging there.
Right.
So anyway, so the boat was, got the boat hauled out there, shipped up to Burlington, Vermont, and that's how we started the whole organization.
Tell me about the program, okay? So you've got the boat, okay? We're Sail Beyond Cancer, okay?
Yeah.
And I get that. You know, sailing beyond cancer. Okay. You're in remission. Do you ever beat cancer?
You know, I think it's always in the back of your mind. Once you've had cancer, you're more susceptible, of course, right? Well, you're kind of just always looking, right? And you're more aware of what you're eating. Most of us, some of us say the heck with it, whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Or some people just don't even want to hear that. They just block it out of their life entirely. So,
right.
I mean, I think that's really a personal thing. But for me, I really felt like I survived for a reason. And as I've been called many times, a serial entrepreneur, I really felt like there was nothing out there for both the cancer patient and the caregivers. That's one of the things that sets us apart from a lot of nonprofits is that these are private sales.
Let's get into the program.
Yeah.
Okay. This is for folks that are going through a cancer diagnosis. At whatever point that is, from the time that a doctor says,
exactly,
hey, do you have a few moments to talk?
Yeah.
To the bell ringing as you're walking out of the hospital.
Exactly, exactly.
And beyond.
So, yeah. So our focus is to provide respite, a three-hour sail. I always think of Gilligan's Island because a three-hour tour. You know, I think, but it's a three-hour sail, which we found 3 hours for a reason. But and to give this person who either just getting the word they have cancer, their biopsy has come back as malignant, they're about to start this process, they're in about to go into surgery, they're in chemo or in radiation, or they're in palliative care, they're maintenance chemo. There are a lot more drugs out there now than there were even 10 years ago.
Sure.
That people look totally normal or hidden in plain sight, as I call them. But there's a big raging thing. But anyway, so is that person, even people who are in hospice, right? So they take the heck with their drugs, but they are living with cancer. That is our main primary person. We any age, any type of cancer, anywhere in the United States. I mean, if they're in Texas and they went to school at UVM or they went to school down here in Maryland, they can nominate themselves. Somebody can nominate them. Anybody can nominate anybody. It's up to them whether they want to come to us, to one of the three chapters, to gather their friends and family to take this time just to be together. So what happens is that the people who are in remission, who clearly finished treatment, that is not our demographic. Sometimes they get nominated and we call them up and say, hey, do you remember when you were in chemo?
Right.
Or do you remember when you were in that place, a lot of uncertainty and a lot of anxiety? I said, that's the person we are targeting. I said, if we have time, we never tell people they can't go. That if we have time at the end of the season, we will honor your sale, but we'll use your sale as a training sale, right? So we never like to say, sorry.
Well, you know, it's so interesting that, and this is the second story I've heard recently about this, but you're faced with a life-changing
incident. Yes, yes.
Okay, it's a diagnosis that getting back to normalcy, okay, you said you grew up sailing. You know, just, you know, yeah. I am not this bald cancer suffering, pathetic, whatever shell of whatever I was, whichever may be going through your mind. You're not that.
No.
Okay. You're much more than that. Okay. And you can go back to, say, your roots or whatever, but your passions, your love, what really gave you.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And that's like one of the best therapies. I mean, are you familiar with crab sailing?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I know the web very, very well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, with Don Backe, I mean, when he was paralyzed, it was like, you know, okay, his friend said, dude, you're depressed, you're miserable, you're, you know, let's go sailing.
Yeah.
And he came back in and was like,
oh my God,
that's what we need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So great.
It's so therapeutic to do that. And, to be able to do this, to get somebody that is interested in sailing, get them back out on the water, no matter where it is, whether it's in Burlington, Massachusetts or down here,
no matter,
or wherever, is just so critical there.
Yeah. And John, you know, and one thing I like to make sure the public knows is that these sails are run by trained volunteers. So they're all volunteers. There's one captain and two crew, one captain, a first mate, and an ambassador. And our boats are usually 40 to 50 feet long because we take 6 passengers. So it's one cancer patient. It can invite 5 additional people. Doesn't matter who they are. We don't care. They show up with a cooler with whatever they want to eat or drink. Booze is fine. Whatever. It's a picnic. It's like, but the key is that as soon as we get out to the outside, we put the sails up, we turn the engine off, we give the helm to the patient immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So that they have something that they're in control of, you know, because once you get a diagnosis, your whole world goes upside down. It's not just us bringing them to sailing. We're guiding them out there. We're bringing them out there, but we're giving them time to be together, reconnect. And we encourage people to go around the boat and everybody can take the helm. We don't care.
Sure.
So it's about feeling the power of the wind and being on water, as you probably well know, is very therapeutic anyway. So many of these people have never been on a boat that day. They're kind of afraid they're going to hit something.
Well, so the boats that you've got now, are volunteer boats? If you will, there's a captain, there's somebody that has a boat that is affiliated with Sail Beyond Cancer that says, you know, I want to make a difference in somebody's life.
Yep.
And they're, you know, you arrange the time and the place and everything else for that.
Yeah. So, big question. And when we first started, I had that one little boat in the beginning. It was just that boat. That first summer, we took 110 people out sailing.
We learned.
That we have, it's what we have now is called a hybrid program. So we have in each chapter a designated boat that's either been purchased or donated to the organization. Here in Annapolis, we have a Beneteau 40 that was just donated last May.
Okay, so these are your boats.
So we have one signature boat in each chapter. And then we have, like here and right now in Annapolis, we have 9 captains with their own vessels the boats are all between 40 and 50. They've come to us and say, hey, we really want to do this. So that's great. But you're going to have to go through training with us on your boat because we want to make sure that when you're people out on your boat, you're the same guy that was on shore about a half an hour ago.
Right.
You know, or same woman. You're not always guy, right? So, and you're not there. So the big thing on a place like Annapolis where you have amazing sailors, awesome racers, retrain amazing captains to not teach people to sit. You're not out there to entertain them. You are not a charter captain. You are there to sail, to guide this group out, to stop talking. So it's detraining, which is an interesting place to be here in Annapolis versus Vermont. You have far fewer big sailors like this. I mean, we have some great sailors, but one thing that separates us apart is that our captains and crew have been trained, of course, what their role is out there on every single sail is conducted the same way. The second crew member is called an ambassador, and they're in charge of taking photos. We take between 30 and 50 photos per sail of the entire group. And they're not all like smile. You know, it's capturing the experience, the wind, anything they can think of. And we give those photos back to every single person on every single sale as a, you know, as a link, as a memory. So that we, when I first started this on, it was for the cancer patient. But what is really interesting, and I'm going to tell you a little story. What interesting is happening now, the same time, is a different type of ship. So this guy, Frank, I'm going to give you an example. He was 82 and he was in hospice. This is in Vermont a couple of years ago. We call and we talk to everybody that gets nominated because we want to get a feeling of where they are.
Right.
So I mean, hey, Frank, you know, he's in the respite house, right? He's like close to the end. Guess what? You get to go sailing and everything. And he's like, hey, that's great, Suzanne. But you know, I'm kind of done with having this be about me. I'm just done. You know, I completely respect that. But here's something else to think about, Frank. Here's an opportunity for you to say thank you to your love and to make memories of you being outside. I have frank conversations that sometimes it's the last time he knows that I know it's the last time he's going to be outside, definitely outside on the water. We will document and they will have these lasting memories of being down. He goes, oh damn, that's awesome, let's do it. So we get him down to the boat, we plop his butt in the cockpit, he's all happy, he doesn't have to move. And all, everybody's around, a lot of times they have grandkids, you know, they're all having an awesome time and the family's happy. I mean, because they think that there was their nomination that sure. got him out there. And we know that it's really his little gift back to them. And so there's this really wonderful feelings that are happening at the same time, right? And overall, it's just what we do is provide a little gift of time together. We have no idea where that person's life is going to go. Well, sometimes we do, like we frank, like we just don't know. That's not our role. Give them an opportunity to physically and mentally leave that whole journey, if you will, ashore. Physically detached from land. You know what it's like on a boat. No matter where you are, it's a Friday afternoon. You got the booze. You know, you're getting detached. You're like relaxed before you leave the marina, you know? So physically, mentally detach that from land and just to be together, reconnect. And being on the water under the power of the wind with the silence is amazing.
That's beautiful. You mentioned the word nomination a couple times.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got somebody that is suffering from cancer. And so are they able just to call up and say, hey, I want to do this?
Yeah. So the way to do it, a couple of things. I'm going to share a couple of words with you just for me, from Suzanne to John. I wouldn't use the word battling.
Okay.
And suffering. And hope. Those are three words. And we also don't use the word patient. Patients don't like being called patient.
Okay. Fair enough. Is
that okay?
When I learn things.
Okay. Yeah. I hope you don't mind me saying this. But
no, I do because I was doing a podcast with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Yeah.
And I got totally called on the table because I used the term committing suicide.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
And it was not. It was they died by suicide. And it really struck home. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem. And I didn't, you know, I learned this over the years, right? I mean, battling. They're like, don't ever say that. I mean, these are patients coming to me saying, and don't call me a patient. I hate that. And I'm like, okay, good. I won't. So nomination came up, right? So how do we get people to ask to go sailing? We want them to feel good. So we want them to be nominated either by themselves or by somebody else. So you, when somebody nominates you, you feel like, hey, damn, I'm going to get a prize.
I'm getting an award.
Yay. So that was sort of the psychic behind nominate. And so anybody can nominate themselves. Anybody can nominate somebody else. And we always request that they don't try to go to the person and say, I met this crazy woman, Suzanne, and something about a sailing program. Do you want to go? You know, just nominate them. You can nominate somebody anonymous. That everything goes through our website. You could try calling, but we're going to ask you the same info. You might as well just do it and get into our system. And once they're in our system, we have schedulers, volunteers. All these is, you know, volunteer schedulers. So it's all they do is talk to the nominee, the patient.
Right.
Nominee. So you know what we call them.
Right.
Nominee is the patient nominator, is the person who nominated, right?
Sure.
So we try the nominee first, just to get an idea where they are in their cycle with their treatments, because you know, we want to encourage them to think about dates that they could go. If they're in chemo, often chemo for breast cancer, for instance, is typically a 3-week thing. So we take them out right before they're going in for their next chemo treatment, because you don't want to do it the day after. Right.
Sure.
So how that works. So you already know the criteria of what type of people we like to go. We call that person up, that Frank, for instance, or, you know, you get to sailing. Here's the next steps. Now you get to decide who you want to bring with you. We sail 7 days a week, up to 3 times a day, starting in early May down here, depending on the weather, right through until like this past year, we went in through October 22nd. October gets windy, yes, as you know.
Right.
And right, it gets colder. So part of our criteria as a captain, I'm one of the captains, we get to choose. You know, we want to make sure this sail is going to be as safe and easy and a good experience as possible. So if we know that there's a front coming in and it is blowing 15 right now and the forecast over the next hour is to go up to 22, we may, depending on the weather, actually, if it's blowing 18, going up to 25, we will probably suggest, hey, let's postpone this. We can bring you out, but it's just, we want it to be fun. And it's hard to keep the boat. She's a Manitou, so she's a pretty lightweight little cat. And they don't get it, because, you know, many of these people have never really been out in a boat, so they don't understand. But they're very, very, God, they're so grateful. I mean, can I tell you how many people call, when I call them, it's like, you get to go to sailing, they just start crying in gratitude.
Well, it sounds like it's life-changing. It really is. It's an experience, especially for somebody that may not have the experience of sailing, or just very moderate experience of sailing, not, you know, I mean, a full-fledged sailor.
Yeah.
It may not be that big of a deal. But when you, and just in anything, when you see people that are able to get out there, when you get kids that have never been out on a boat or a sail bay, you know, regardless of illness or treatments or anything like that,
yeah,
it's different. How many nominees have you helped over this?
2,400, I believe it is.
Wow.
So last summer, so for here, just to give you an idea, Annapolis, 2022 was our first year, right? And we were also donated a small boat, a 36-foot Pearson that was ancient. And she was a little too small for us, but we bumped along for the year. So that first summer, 2022, nobody really knew about us at all. So we went on 27 mission sails. We took about 137 people out.
Okay.
So when I say people, it's just as important for the caregivers as it is for the nominee. So the why, and I started this conversation earlier, what's so special about Sail Beyond Cancer is that it is for both the caregivers and that person being challenged by cancer, because the caregivers are just often bending over backward and never have a break, especially if it's end of your life. They don't ever want to not be with that person. So they never really have the time to reflect and to be able to take the time to be with that person outside. It is in a car that doesn't work. You know, you can't go down a rafting. You know, you can't do things outside usually because it requires physical activity. Whereas sailing, you plop that person in the cockpit.
Well, it's got to be so great for them too, because caregiving, I mean, I know when both my mother and my father passed, and I've got a friend that is suffering from MS, and her husband is a caregiver and everything else. I don't even want to say that's a full-time job. It's like a full-time times two job.
Exactly.
So just to be able to get off, and maybe the sailing is a distraction, if nothing else,
exactly,
that the caregiver can sit there and say, wow, okay, so fine. He or she is living the life, sailing out in Chesapeake Bay, and I can breathe.
And you can breathe, and she's happy. And for like Frank's instance, it was his thank you to all the people. I mean, it was intentional, and that happened. So you have these really awesome experiences out there. It's just so fun to see the transformation in 3 hours. So the reason why we do 3 hours, typical charter anywhere here in Annapolis or most cities or, you know, sailing towns, you pay for your charter. It's a 2-hour charter.
Right.
Period. You don't go. 3 hours is the perfect amount of time, because it takes a while. You know, I mean, I have these visuals of people getting in the cockpit, their legs across, their arms across, like, oh my God. You know, the high school kids are like, this sucks, you know? I mean, I'm going to have to be here for 3 hours with Aunt Joni. I haven't seen her in, you know, 17 years. And then, you know, they're getting out, their sails are up, turn the engine off, and it's kind of nice. You're like, hey, this is kind of nice. You know, can we go up? Yeah, you can go anywhere you want. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and an hour later, they're like, hey, do we have to go back? I mean, do we really have to go back? Can we just? So it takes a while for people just to unwind. And a lot of these folks have not been in 40 feet of each other, many of them in a long time. Pretty amazing. So especially with a hospice end of life, what would you do? Somebody asks you to be there, you drop everything, and you're there. And the cool thing is, cell phones don't float. And right. So we always say, hey, before we leave, we have a little routine. Captain of the crew is what we do. If so-and-so is going to be taking photos, and they're like, oh, I don't have a great photo. Like, no, we actually, you can do whatever you want, but your cell phone's not going to float. And but this is what we do. And they're like, oh, my God, this is so great. Oh, I can relax.
You know, and I'm thinking here in Annapolis, I mean, I'll, you know, with a three-hour sail, I mean, we look at some of the icons of Maryland here.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can get to Thomas Point. And
sometimes we can.
Plenty of time. You can get to the Bay Bridge.
Yep.
You can, you know, maybe going up to the thing. Now, where do you guys sail out of a
particular place? This is great. This is a perfect question. I'm so glad you asked me. Guess what? They're not there for that. In fact, they have no idea what they're not. They don't even know. They don't care. I mean, you're like, some of the new captains will say, well, where do we go? I say, you know where the wind takes you, and you have to be back 3 hours. You have to make sure that you are aware of the time. And not only that, but the cancer patient by the end, or the nominee, by 3 hours, they're usually spent because they're exhausted anyway. And so we are sailing by the denomination of the people on the boat. So as a captain, especially, and the first mate, we are constantly watching body language. We are sailing. If we can get underneath the bridge, awesome. And sometimes we can't, but you know, it's Maryland. And sometimes the wind just poops out and then you're motoring, and that's okay too. We'll do that. But it really is not about where we're going. Sometimes we'll just do the little tour through the harbor if they want to. I mean, like, hey, do you want to go to the harbor? And half the time I'm like, no, we're good. Because they are oblivious to the fact that we just taxed twice. You know, they don't care if they're... They're with their
posse.
With their posse. And so that's what we really want. That's our goal, is to have the sail seamless and not threatening. And they're not worried about anything. And they're not even aware that they were turning around, because it's not about necessarily that. Although that can be fun. But it really just depends on them. On the group. Isn't that interesting?
Where do you sail out of? I mean, do you sail out of a particular spot?
Yeah.
Or is, I mean, I know that you said you have volunteer captains and boats and stuff like that. And so yep. Do they come down to,
Good question. That's the trickiest part. Again, you know, I mentioned earlier about the different tributaries. As we get more captains who want to donate their vessels and their time as a captain, we have to kind of look at the map and figure out how far out they are from Annapolis. Sometimes we ask them to come to Chesapeake Harbor for a touch and port. We are basically, our main boat, Annalise, the Beneteau 40, is based out of Annapolis Landings.
Okay.
So we have a slip there. That is our main vessel. And the other ones, when I have one in Severna Park, we have one in Gippsland Island, we have one in the Magathie. And the rest of them are in Annapolis.
Okay.
Because at this point, it's hard to, you know, you're directing people where to go, where to find the boat, blah, 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 blah. So I wanted to tell you that first summer of 2022, we went on 27 sails, took about 130 people out sailing. And then one of our captains, who owned his own boat, the Beneteau 40, had lung cancer. And he's a very high-functioning lung cancer patient. But in the fall of 2022... I was on a sail with him as his first mate, and you're putting the boat away, and he turned to me and he said, so I want you to be on my sail. And I'm like, jump, part. But no, I don't want it anytime soon. Thank you very much. You know, I'm fine. And he's like, okay, just, you know.
It has to be so rewarding for these volunteer captains to know what they're doing. I mean, they didn't have to do this. That boat could have sat in their slip or sat on, well, not on the lip, but, you know, sat on the slip for... The captain could have sat at home reading the Wall Street Journal or, you know, futzing around in the garden or something like that. But he decided to make a difference in somebody's life.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, so last summer in May, we took him out on his sail, and he died in June, but he'd given us the boat. So last year we increased the number of sails to 68 sailings. And so we took over 350 people out last summer. And then, you know, we anticipate probably going on 100 sails at least this summer. And as more people hear about it, the more nominations we have, the more exposure we get, which in turn, the more funding we can have to continue. It's built a lot like Make-A-Wish. So this is the similar experience, right? We aren't money cure cancer.
Right.
We aren't educating people to cancer.
And you're not sending people to Disney.
And we're not sending people to Disney. And Make-A-Wish is awesome. Make-A-Wish is up to 18 years of age, where we are, you know, 2 week olds and 92. It doesn't matter. There is no age. There is no type of cancer, but it's all cancer, only cancer. Anywhere in the United States. It doesn't have to be Anne Arundel, and it could be anywhere. So we encourage, I mean, what my job is to help spread the word, like what I'm doing with you and any kind of speaking engagements, anything to get the word out. This is what we do. We are here.
What is your future? I mean, you started this way back when and you grown. What is, I mean, and let's face it, despite what Newport says or despite what Annapolis says, I mean, we are not necessarily the sailing capital of the world. I mean, Newport is huge. You look at San Diego, you look at the, you know, the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
The Great Lakes. And I mean, there are tons and tons of opportunities to sail across the country. What does the future look for sailing beyond? What's the future look for sail beyond cancer?
So the future is that I intend to focus more on USA, which is the main virtual headquarters of this nonprofit. And we're still fairly small. I mean, we're still pretty young. So the future is to be able to open up, respond to specific locations. We have about 18 locations that want to do this right now, John. And the thing is that it's great, awesome. But the criteria is that not only do we obviously need to have decent water to sail in, that's, you don't have to go down, you know, the Gold Saybrook River, a Connecticut river, for 5 miles to get to the water, you know? I mean, so it has to be an area that is easy to get to sailing. That's, sailing is decent. It's not super rough. But most importantly, that there's cancer centers nearby and or hospitals nearby, because a lot of people who are nominated are going through radiation. And so they're going every day. And then they have to stick around for the rest of the day. You go for radiation, and it takes a half an hour, you're done. And then you have to come back tomorrow.
Wait till the next one.
Right. So we want to be able to be in an area that people are not driving for 2 hours to get to the vessel. I mean, some people do anyway. But so that's the kind of the criteria. And so we don't choose where we're going to open up next. We have to be in a group of people that are dedicated to say, hey, we want to do this. So Annapolis was a little unusual. You were talking about schools before. I went to Williston Northampton School, and Mark Andrews, who's a yacht broker here in town, also went to Williston. And I was, there was an article written about me in a nonprofit a couple of years ago, 4 years ago. He read it and he's like, called me up. He's like, you got to get to Annapolis. I'm like, yeah. I'll sponsor your booth. Come down to the U.S. Boat Show. Just dip your feet in here. See what the community is like. Do they want to do this or not? And so I did. That was the fall of 2021 where I met Daryl.
Okay.
And I came with, you know, some volunteers from Vermont, and I just said, here's the deal. We're thinking of opening in chapters. Anybody interested? So after the 5 days of the show, we had 115 volunteers from the Annapolis community. So that's when I said, all right, I need to come down here. And get this thing going.
So on each chapter, do you have a chapter leader or a chapter president or a director or whatever you may want to call them?
Yeah, the executive director or the president of the board, depending on, like, Salem North Shore is the smallest one of them all. They have, right now, they have their board that's running. But yes, in Vermont, it's not officially public yet, but they just hired an executive director up there. And down here, I'm their interim director, probably for another year or so.
And that job entails, you know, finding or, you know, working with the donor captain and the donor boats, making sure the boats meet the criteria of the captain, that getting the training and making sure everybody's on board with the program. And then you, as the founder, I guess, and the big guru, has to make sure that all the directors
and work
chapter directors know.
Yes. Yes. And we have agreements just like we do. That's like Make-A-Wish again. Worked a lot with Make-A-Wish when first designing the program, that each chapter is a separate 501c3, a separate nonprofit.
Oh, okay.
So they have a board of directors and typically executive director. And then there's a chapter affiliation agreement that we, the the USA allowed, you know, gives all the logos and all the branding and all of the support behind the scenes with the website, you know, so they can concentrate on building their chapter with funding, with a program that we are already set in motion for them. It's very, very similar to Make-A-Wish.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'll tell you, I guess the most important thing I want to know is, how can we help you? How can the folks that are listening help Sail Beyond Cancer? I mean, obviously, you can go to the website, which is sailbeyondcancer.org.
Correct.
And I know I was on there this morning, and there is a big give me money button.
Yeah.
Which is any nonprofit, let's be real. I mean, any nonprofit, give me money.
Absolutely.
Money makes everything work around. But
yeah.
And that's an easy way. That's, you know, and everybody should, if you have the ability to donate, certainly donate the best of your ability. But how else can we get involved and help out Sail right. Beyond Cancer?
Well, I always say to people, it's a nonprofit. It's, if you think of a stool, this nonprofit is built on three pillars, one of which, of course, like you just said, is the obvious one, is the financial, right? We're pretty lean and mean. So any foundations are huge because we don't find that cure to cancer. We were pretty much kicked out of a lot of corporate donations. Family foundations is huge. Individual donations are great, obviously. Any kind of funding that way, matching donors with matching your employee contribution, anything like that. And then the second pillar is the nomination. So we rely on you. We rely on the listeners to think of someone you know right now who's dealing with this. And even if it's February, nominate them now, because I'm telling you what, just it gives them this amazing bolt of determination to get through the chemo, right? And we get through their process. And they have, they're like, first of all, they're incredibly grateful that somebody thought about them. They hardly ever ask who it is. Sometimes they do, but, you know, you can always do this nominously. It doesn't matter. But I mean, I had some guy came on board with me. This is in Vermont a couple of years ago. And he's the nicest guy. He was probably in his 50s. He said, can I just tell you, I have been counting the days every time I'm in the hospital. And then all the nurses know about the fact that I get to go sailing today. Today is my day. I have been counting the days that about 100 days.
And the nurses are all going, oh, thank God.
Get out of here. Thank God. Oh, my God. But it really does give them two things. It gives them hope. It gives them, I said, just like that, that word, but it gives them that extra energy, and they feel so grateful that somebody thought about them. So it's a free gift that you can give to somebody by just nominating it. And just go to the website. Don't even bother to tell them, because we can explain it better to them than you can, probably.
And that's how the process works. If I nominate somebody, I contact you and say, hey, I would like to nominate my friend Bill. Here's his contact information.
Yeah.
And you roll up like the publisher's clearinghouse and say, hi, we're from Sail Beyond Cancer.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But you do it through the website. So and one thing I did not talk about is that a couple of years ago, we really wanted to do something a little bit more. And so we started a second program, and it's called the Memorial Celebration of Life Sails. So anybody who's lost anybody to cancer in the past 3 years, you know, it's a little gray area there, 3 or 4 years. Nominate that person or nominate the family members. And then we'll do the same thing. It's a 3-hour sale. It's to be just honoring that person. People ask us if we can spread ashes. Of course, in CPA, you can't do that officially, but you know,
yeah, we know
what happens. And as we downwind, please, that would be really good. You know, and so
as we talk about it, and I challenge anybody that's listening, somehow cancer hasn't touched your life, because very few people will get in touch. Unfortunately, you live in a world where it is still here, it is still prevalent, and it does not discriminate. From little tiny children to young adults, we all know, are related to, or know somebody that has had it, is going through it, or, you know, has passed away from. And this is a great respite for those that love to sail, as Suzanne certainly did. But also, it's a unique experience that you can give somebody a gift of an experience. And let's face it, I mean, tchotchkes and stuff, but nobody wants tchotchkes at Christmas. Okay, they want experience. They need an experience.
They do.
And
they
this
do.
Is exactly what it is, because I've got to remember that trip we took to someplace a little bit, a lot more than I will that Oh, yeah, that's right. You gave me that little statue that sits on the mantle.
No, you're right on. And it is so, the third part of that stool is to volunteer, John. And so just like anything, people say, what do you do in the off season? I'm like, are you kidding me? This is a nonprofit that Sally is just like a theater production, right? So everybody wants to be on the boat, right? Everybody wants to be a captain or a crew member. Oh, my God, that's awesome. There are all sorts of things that have to happen for me to get a group of six people on that vessel. We have liability waivers. We have emails. We have coordinating of the guests. I mean, there's a lot of different things. There's events. There's fundraisers. There's a lot of, there's a lot of help. I encourage you to go to the website, click that volunteer button. You'll see when you fill all out information, if you're a photographer, we want you on board, right? But you make sure you click whatever chapter you're on. I mean, you want to be in Annapolis, you have an op right there between Vermont.
Again, sailbeyondcancer.org is the website. There's some great resources on there. Right up on the title banner, it says, the chapters or the locations. You've got Annapolis, Burlington, and North Massachusetts.
Salem, near Marblehead, right near Marblehead.
Okay.
Yep.
Get involved. I challenge anybody to tell me that they don't know somebody or is related to somebody that has not been affected by cancer in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
It's here. We need to do better. And we're thankful that there's plenty of organizations out there that are working toward it. I'm very frustrated that we haven't been able to get there yet, but that's,
cancers we have.
Hopefully sometime soon. But, Suzanne Snyder, I want to thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for your foresight in conquering, your diagnoses, as well as turning that right on its end and making it something fantastic for everybody else that's going through the same thing that you did, before. Again, sailbeyondcancer.org is where you want to go. And again, thank you so much.
Thank you. And we have a social media sites and Instagram. So please do encourage people to follow us and like us.
Okay. We're on Facebook.
Instagram and LinkedIn too.
Yep. Okay, cool. I will make sure that the links get put there in the show notes and everything else, but thank you so much.
Thank you so much, John. You're awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's Local Business Spotlight. Please make sure to visit ionannapolis.net for all your local news, events, and opinion. And in case you haven't already, please subscribe to the Ion Annapolis Daily News Brief, where we bring you all the day's local news direct to your phone, tablet, or computer in about 10 minutes. It comes to you at 6 a.m. every Monday through Friday, and you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.